Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Prof, good morning. There we join our good Professor Andre Dubonaga from Northwest University. Good morning, Prof, and tell me how you're doing.
Good morning, Chapat. No, I'm fine. Yeah, ready to talk to you, sir.
Yes, Prof, many things are coming across. There is a dichotomy. There's a tug of war in this country, Ukraine, Russia. But it seems like even Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman is going to help the Ukrainians out. And then there's a big debate, not only in South Africa, but all over the world, that the people of lighter skin are for Ukrainians and the people with a darker skin are for Russians, and that the Russians are for those that are marginalized, and the Russians are for those that, you know, that don't have it. Russia is there to help them out. And the Europe, generally Eurocentric and more color conscious, are doing everything and anything for the blonde hair, the blue eyes, and the white skins of the Ukrainians. Talk to us about that, Prof. What's your feeling?
This is a very controversial matter at the moment. And I think to make the whole debate and the whole conflict a racially divide debate is, I don't think, 100% accurate. There is people that would like to give it a racial identity, but we must take into consideration that the Russians and the Ukrainians are basically coming from the same base. They are talking the same language. There are certain differences between them historically and otherwise, but in terms of racial definition, they are precisely the same. But what is happening now is that in the forming of alliances in the conflict, the one alliance is seen as pure white and associated with a pure white identity, and the other one, the Russian one, like to project itself to other parts of the world, incorporating a more inclusive group and character. And I think that is an attempt to mobilize people on different sides. But again, and that's a reality, Shafat, is that racial factors are playing a fundamental role in politics throughout the world, and in particular in South Africa. Now, we know the apartheid history, we know the Population Registration Act, the Group Areas Act, Great Apartheid, Small Apartheid, and all of these. But if you look at the current dispensation in South Africa, transformation, black economic empowerment, it is basically apartheid in reverse. It's just the other racial group that received the advantages. So racial criteria is playing a role. I think worldwide we are struggling to give equal opportunities to races, and without any doubt, and that is not coming from the political environment. This is a reality on all levels of social life, that people are categorizing each other's, and that stereotypes are playing a very important role. But yes, indeed, it is part of the classification at the moment of, let's call it, the pro-Russian group on the one side and the Ukraine group supported by the West and other countries.
Yes, you know, the individuals that say the apartheid, you know, South Africa, those leaders had the guts to say, yeah, we're implementing apartheid, and they told it boldly and loudly to everyone. But they say that the West, you know, they speak with forked tongue. The British speak with forked tongue. In their hearts, they are racist. They have racist ideology, but they wouldn't say, you know, they use a linguistic gymnastics. And also, Prof, talking about apartheid, it was also said that the NG Kerk used the Bible to justify apartheid. How true was that, Prof?
Well, yes, Shafat. I think to start with, I think the whole apartheid system in South Africa basically developed from British colonialism. And you will find that the same British colonialism was applicable on all British colonies, Australia, Canada, the United States of America, and so on and so on. What changes in South Africa faster than other places around the world is the demographic composition. In that sense, we have faster change, and the whole concept and underlying principles of British colonialism came to the fore in the name of apartheid in South Africa sooner than is the case in other places. So in that sense, it all came from absolutely the same origin. Your second question, I just forget it. Your second question about it, you had two questions.
Yeah, I said they use the Bible to justify the...
Bible, yeah. Shabbat, 100%, it is true that the old apartheid system identified with the Jewish struggle against Egypt and the journey towards the promised land. That was a very important theological conceptualization underlying apartheid. And basically, the promised land was the combination of the Boer republics and that type of thing. So there was a religious foundation towards this. But after 1994, this changed in a complete way. And at the moment, specifically the NG Kerk is at the front of recognizing homosexual relationships and that type of thing, and institutionalize it in the church. There's huge debates going on. So that picture changed in a very dramatic way. But yes, there was a form of what some people refer to as white theology. And if you read the book of the late leader of the Conservative Party, Andries Treurnig, Credo of an Afrikaner, you will find an example of white theology. To the opposite, we have black theology, which is also based on Christian principles, and who are using the guy in trouble, the person that is finding it difficult to survive, as the person that should be helped from a Christian perspective. Therefore, they are identifying with the underdog. And from that premise, black theology developed and was put within a colonial setting. And examples, the best example of black theology I can think of is no one else than Dr. Alan Busak, or Professor Alan Busak. I think he's currently at the link to a university or two. But he's an example of this. I think in a way Desmond Tutu was there, but for Desmond Tutu I had great respect. He was a very balanced person, and he was critical to all sides, and he first put his religious principles and then his political ideology. But yes, it is true with regard to the NG Kerk in the period before 1994.
I'll tell you, Prof, absolutely brilliant having you this morning. You have a beautiful day ahead. Have you finished your gymming, Prof? Are you still in the gym?
No, I'm out of the gym, Shafat. I'm not gymming today. I had a bit of a heavy gym exercise on during the week, so I'm taking a bit of a rest.
You enjoy yourself, Prof, and I'll talk to you soon. And have a beautiful day, Prof.
Thank you very much, Shafat.
Professor Andre Dubonaga, the Keeping Us Up to Speed.